Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We take up today verse 17 of Romans chapter 11, and here we find a lesson in grace. We read, "And if some of the branches were broken off, and you being a wild olive tree were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree," and the verse actually doesn't end there, that's a comma, it goes on and says in verse 18, "Do not boast against the branches, but if you do boast, remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you." But this lesson in grace follows the lesson in consecration. Remember, Paul is still answering the question, what about the Jew? Is God through with the Jew? Answer, no. And in verse 16 he said, "For if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy, and if the root is holy, so are the branches." And he gave two illustrations as to why God is not through with the Jew. He's not through with the Jew because the first fruit, having been given to God, and the patriarchs, the descendants of the patriarchs, still belong to God in a special way. And if the root of this tree, which represents, I think, the people of God, all the people of God, the totality of the people of God, if the root of that tree is the patriarchs, again it is, then the whole tree belongs to God in a special way. Now, as we see, there are some surprising elements about this tree, and it turns out that the tree is not made up entirely of the physical descendants of the patriarchs. There are more branches on this tree than natural branches. In fact, as we know, some of the natural branches have been lopped off because of unbelief, and some wild branches that didn't normally belong to this tree have been grafted in. And that, too, is a surprising development, but still that doesn't alter the overall picture. This whole tree grows out of the root of the patriarchs, and if the root belonged to God in a special way, as the patriarchs did, then everything that grows out of that root still belongs to God in a special way, as all ethnic Jews do. God's not through with the Jew. But this is also a reminder of the grace of God, because grace can accomplish the seeming impossible. Grace has grafted in wild olive branches. That doesn't fit the illustration, the main point of the illustration about is God through with the Jew, because here's the surprising development about Gentiles being included in the same tree with the Jews, in a tree that seemed like it ought to belong only to the Jews. In a tree that seems like it ought to belong only to the physical descendants of the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And here are people in the tree who didn't connect physically to the patriarchs, but they are there nevertheless because they connect spiritually to the patriarchs in a way that only God could do. "And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree." Some of the natural branches were broken off. The implication seems to be that they were broken off to make room for these wild olive branches that otherwise there wouldn't have been room for. That corresponds with what Paul has been teaching all along, that there is some connection between God setting aside the Jew in order to bring in the Gentile. It seems like the setting aside of the Jew was necessary for there to be Gentile inclusion. And that is pictured in this olive tree illustration. There had to be a breaking off of natural branches to make room for some of these grafted wild branches. But that's how Gentiles get into the family of God. That's how we Gentiles got into the sheepfold of Christ. It seemed like a very surprising turn of events. It is a very surprising turn of events. It didn't seem like anything that we would have expected to have happened. But you see, grace does the unexpected. Grace accomplishes the seeming impossible. There's hope for the most unlikely sinner. If there was hope for Gentiles when it seemed like there was no place for Gentiles, dear friend, don't give up on anybody. Don't give up on anybody. Who would have thought that God planned to bring in millions of Gentiles? That doesn't seem so surprising to us today. That just seems like the normal thing to us today. But if we had lived in the first century and were a Jew, that would seem incredible. That would seem impossible. That would be unthinkable. And it was unthinkable to most of the Jews. They got more angry at that prospect than they did almost anything else. That made them angrier even than the message that Jesus was the Messiah, or that he rose from the dead. Two declarations which they stoutly resisted, but one they resisted even more than that was that God's saving mercy would flow to Gentiles outside the stream of Israel, to Gentiles. Unthinkable, they shouted to Paul when he told them that in the temple at Jerusalem when he was under arrest. But whether that's unthinkable to men or not, that's not unthinkable to God. That's not difficult for God. That's not impossible for God. In fact, it's obviously part of God's plan all along from the beginning. But it is a surprising twist and reminds us of what grace is able to do. And that's why I say that the modern-day application in my mind is this, now that we all know that Gentiles are included and at this point in history make up the majority of that group called the people of God. The biggest part of the church is Gentile, not Jew. But in like fashion, just like it seemed incredible that Gentiles should be saved in the first century, so it seems incredible that some types of people should be saved in the 21st century. And we look at people who are so sinful, so unconcerned about spiritual things, so uninterested in Christ. We're concerned for them, we pray for them, but sometimes we lose heart and lose hope. It just seems impossible. They'll never be saved. They'll never show any spiritual interest. You know, if I thought it all depended upon, ultimately and decisively, upon the will of man, I think I would get discouraged and give up. Because some people, you can see, their will is just never going to go in the right direction. It's just obvious that it's not. But when you realize that in the foundation of it all is the grace and power of God, and that he can take any person, the vilest of sinners, and change their heart and make them willing in the day of his power, then we realize that there is nobody who is beyond hope. Because there's nobody beyond the grace of God. There's nobody too strong for the power of God. So, dear lady, grieving over your wayward son who has gone on so long in sin, in degradation, in alcohol, in drugs, in stealing, in resistance to all of the norms of society, let alone any interest in things eternal. And it's gone on that way for year after year after year, for decade after decade, until it seems like all hope is gone. I want to tell you about a God whose arm is not short that it cannot save, whose ear is not deaf that he cannot hear. I want to tell you about a God whose grace is able, just as able to reach your son as he is an obedient 10-year-old child listening willingly in Sunday school, singing the songs about Jesus and talking about the need to ask Jesus into their heart. We look at that tender child and we say, well, it's not so hard for that child to be saved. And we look at this hardened sinner and we say, that sinner is going to be very difficult to save, and forget that all salvation is a miracle of God's grace and power, and it takes just as much grace to save the 10-year-old Sunday school child as it does to save the homeless bum who's addicted to drugs. And it is no more difficult for God to save that homeless person than it is for him to save the 10-year-old Sunday school child. We get it all wrong. We look at things from a human standpoint. And I've heard the appeals to child evangelism, which I believe in child evangelism if it's understood properly and rightly. I think the greatest place for child evangelism is in the home and in the church. But yes, there's a place to reach out in the neighborhoods, in the marketplace, and to reach children whose parents are not giving them the gospel. Of course, by all means, let's do that. Let's do that enthusiastically and with all our heart. Let's realize that God will use efforts like that to save children. But let's not buy the fallacious idea that it's easier to get children saved than adults. Oh, yes, it's easier to induce a child to make a decision because they're young and pliable and more easily persuaded by adults, but decisions do not equate to conversions. A decision is not necessarily the same thing as the new birth. Please learn that. Please understand that. And please renovate your evangelistic approach accordingly. Yes, I believe in child evangelism, but I don't believe in inducing decisions out of a child and pronouncing the child saved on the basis of a decision. It's easy to get a decision out of a child. It may be more difficult to get one out of a teenager. It may be exceedingly more difficult to get one out of a homeless bum who is hardened and has been living in sin for 50 or 60 years. If it all depended upon man's will, man's decision, then for that person, that person long hardened in sin, all hope would be gone. But no, it's not up to them. It's up to God, God's power, God's grace, God's love, God's regenerating power by His Holy Spirit. And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree. God's able. There's hope for the most unlikely sinner. But grace does not cancel human responsibility, and that's seen in the branches that were broken off. They were broken off why? Because of unbelief. Because of sinful rebellion. Because they hardened their heart to the things of God, because they despised the advantages and privileges which God had given to them, and they were broken off. Don't trifle with spiritual truth. Don't take spiritual advantages for granted. Grace does not cancel human responsibility. Grace works in perfect concert with human responsibility. It is sovereign grace. It is divine grace, but it works in accord with principles of human responsibility, not contrary to them. And so this is an important lesson about grace in verse 17 of Romans chapter 11, as Paul is teaching us about the Jew and assuring us that God is not through with the Jew. We have some wonderful lessons in the operation of grace and how it works in saving sinners and bringing them into union with Jesus Christ. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.